Oh, what a Thursday. What a day. A day that Aaron Goldsmith has dreamed all his life. Can I do 3 hours of sports talk radio? Got it in me. Can I do 3 hours of sports talk radio? And can I do it on a Thursday after a week of my life where I have been celebrated more than any week? Maybe you'll tell me differently. Maybe your homecoming week, Goldie, you felt the same thing. I don't know. Maybe you're on homecoming court. I don't know. But what a week for Aaron Goldsmith, culminating in a Thursday morning show with me. Thank you, bud.
It was. I feel like this is probably obvious at this point, Brock, but it really was just a long play to get here. You understand that. And I'll be honest. There were points in the process where I doubted that this would actually come to fruition, but here we are. Here we are, Brock.
What was this last week like? I mean, you and my wife, very similar. You don't like attention. Don't like attention. Don't love to be the center of attention. And that's why today, on her birthday, I would love for everybody to go on Twitter and blow her up. If you got that Facebook thing, you know, I think she's on that. I'm not. But you can wish her a happy birthday today. But you and Molly, very similar. You don't love to be the center of attention, I don't think.
Well, it is kind of a weird dynamic in our business because we have to have some attention on us, right? Like we are on the radio or on TV. But when there's not a game being played and people are talking that much about a broadcaster, it's normally not a good thing. Let's face it. But yeah, no, it was a wild, very wild, very emotional week. We had a lot of heart to hearts in the Goldsmith family. And we had to use some like code words when the kids were around, you know, like STL. Fortunately, you know, kids are smart, but they're not advanced at this point. It was in all sincerity, in all honesty, though, it was an overall life process and thought process like I've never had to go through before. And I hope and I trust I'll never go through that again. I make it sound like it was this awful thing.
Yeah.
It was incredibly revealing. I think we all know, not to get too serious about things, but we all know in life sometimes you have to really think about what you would be without to realize how much you love something. And I knew, and my wife Heather knew, how much this place means to us.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start really thinking about what it's like to not have it anymore, it shines an even brighter light on how special it is and how grateful we are. And it was even with that clarity, it remained a very difficult conversation, a very difficult phone call to make.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew in my heart that it was the right one to make, which gave me great conviction.
So it, what time is it? 7:02. We've gone a little deep. 7:03. We're going to go deep. So I'm going to ask you one real deep one, and then we'll talk a lot of sports. And Jerry DePoto's going to be with us. We've got an NFL scout with us. We've got Need to Know. We've got all sorts of fun. I've got some hijinks up my sleeve because you know me. You worked with me for a bunch of games, and you know I've got some curveballs I'm going to throw your way. But just go a little deeper with that. Why do you think the outpouring was what it was? Why do you think, gosh, I mean, it was, Aaron, in a beautiful way. It was everywhere. It was on social media. You felt the fans and the connection you have with them. Why do you think the outpouring and just that sense of that love that you felt from so many of the Seattle fans, why do you think that came to life so much through this process?
Well, you're right, Brock. I mean, it was like nothing that I ever thought would happen. I know I've said this before, but for people who haven't heard me say it, I didn't think anything would be known by anyone at any point until the very end. And even at the very end, if I decided that wasn't the right fit for me or they didn't want me, I thought that no one would ever be the wiser that I was even in the mix for it. So with that as my expectation, to have it turn out the way that it did in terms of the public knowledge and then a step further, the public outpour, I mean, it was like I couldn't even process it many times. I think we both can relate to this, especially for on the local level in the show that you do here. You hope that you become part of people's lives. Mm-hmm. And it's a strange dynamic. It's a really kind of a beautiful dynamic. You hope you become part of people's lives, and you hope that people feel like they know you, even though the vast majority of those people you will never meet face to face. And it's a very difficult thing to do. It does not come easily. It does not come quickly. But I've been here for 10 years, and I've been on the air a lot for 6 months, for 10 years. And you don't always know. You don't. There's not really a great way to get feedback as to how well you're doing at that part of the job. until you do this.
Until you put it all out there.
And so I think I've tried really hard over the course of my time with the Mariners. And truthfully, like at the beginning, I was so nervous, and I was just playing not to get fired. I was playing not to lose early in my career because I didn't have a great grasp of what I was doing all the time, and I was uncomfortable.
How many years did you toil in the minors? How many years did you?
I did 6 years in the minors.
You did 6 years in the minor leagues, kind of working your all the working up from lower level. Was it kind of a major league player?
I mean, I did indie ball. I did the Cape League, which is below indie ball. It's collegiate amateur ball. I wasn't even paid. Nobody was paid. Everybody was a volunteer. I mean, I was an intern for 3 years. I almost got out of the business if I didn't get a job, a full-time job. My fourth year, I was going to propose to Heather, and I was going to go be an appliance salesman. So, I mean, I really didn't have a whole lot of innings under my belt by the time I got the Mariners job. It was the ultimate upset that I got the Mariners job to begin with. Huh. And so it took me time. It took me time with the Mariners to kind of get some confidence and get rolling. And I can't pinpoint exactly when that happened, but I do know that there was a time where I felt like, hey, this, I'm comfortable. Like I have confidence, and this feels great. Like this is exactly what you dream of. And I've always tried to be vulnerable and tried to be myself and be self-deprecating. And I think, I hope I'm attracted to that in someone. And I hope that the majority of our fan base and our listeners find that attractive as well and relatable. And so I think all of that, it's a slow burn. It's a slow build, but over the course of a decade, obviously, it's made an impact, which it makes me very, very emotional to think about, because it's what you, everybody wants to have the big call, right? Everybody wants to call the championship and be a part of big games. But ultimately, if you choose to do local baseball, which is my passion, if that's your path, you want to feel like you are a part of things. And you, I mean, as simple as it sounds, Brock, man, you want to be liked. Like, it's a hard job to do if you're not liked. And to be a part of people's lives and to be in their living room and to be in their car every day with them for 6 months out of the year, they have to like you being a part of what they love, and that's the Mariners. And I'm so glad that by and large has happened.
Well, it's pretty cool. In back-to-back days, we had Kevin Burkhardt on yesterday, and he was a totally self-made man. He was selling cars. He was working odd jobs. He ultimately got a break with the Mets as a sideline kind of analyst, and then he has just worked and worked and worked and worked. And you just heard from Aaron Goldsmith right there, multiple years of not being paid as an intern, as a volunteer. I mean, the path to these opportunities, I know for some, it feels like they get handed to them, and there are some in the business that it certainly is, and that path is much, much easier for a lot of them, including the guy calling the Super Bowl in a couple weeks. He was self-made, and for Aaron Goldsmith, you were as well. So let's just cut to the chase, though. I mean, this is a question I think everybody's been wanting answered. Is it just because the Mariners are so good? I mean, is it because they made the playoffs? Is it because the drought ended last year that in the end the decision was pretty darn easy for you and Heather? Like, I mean, really? Am I going to leave Julio? Am I going to leave this Mariners franchise after 9 years of walking through the desert? The man had fallen from heaven, right? And am I really? Is it now? Right after we get through all of that and we're on the other side and we're a playoff contender with a roster that is built to sustain and win for quite some time, you aren't going to leave this situation, Goldie.
Well, I will. My mind goes a lot of directions when you talk about all that. First of all, I have three children. My oldest is 8 years old, and he is the kid president of Club Julio. And
he's not just that. He is the club baseball guy.
He's
a savant. Like, those that don't know, he's put lineups together, right?
Backyard. He draws lineups up, and then when we reenact them, and he calls play by play of it. And so, I mean, like he's all Mariners all the time. And the idea of telling him that would no longer be a part of his everyday life would have, it would have crushed me. It would have broken me. That would have been really, really difficult to do. But getting back to like kind of the serious part of your question, when somebody considers a major life change, like everyone listening has at some point, it's a scale, right? There are things that you consider. There's a wide variety of things you consider, and there's a scale for how much weight they pull in your decision. Mm-hmm. And I would be lying to say that like Julio wasn't a part of that.
Yeah.
Right? Like where the Mariners are right now wasn't a part of that. Like where they ranked on the scale, I can't even quite pinpoint, but I feel like not just me, but for Dave and for Rick and for Blow and for Gary and for Shannon, like we're all in this really special time.
Yep.
Not only for the Mariners, but you look at what Griffey did for this town and for baseball. And I would never, ever want to say that Julio is going to be Griffey 2.0, but I think we can all see clearly enough that there are similarities there. And it's only been a year, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I think we do know that this is a special, special young man and what he can do for this city and potentially for this game. Who knows? The bottom line, we can't put a limit on him, and to be in a position where if I choose to be and I don't mess things up, I will have the opportunity and the pleasure to call his career. Guys can work for 20 plus seasons and not have something like that. So, that was a part of it, man, for sure.
I love it. Well, that's 10 minutes, 2 hours 50 to go, and it's only going to get better from here. Everything you're going to need to know is next to Seattle first, in fact, last night. He is Aaron Goldsmith. This is going to be one heck of a fun show. I promise you that. I got some things coming your way, Goldie. You are going to love. It's all on the Brock and Salk Show that you're listening to right here on Seattle Sports Station on 710 and 710 Seattle Sports app.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Goldie today, but here's everything you need to know. You know that the regular season is getting close, or spring training in this case with baseball, because it's list season. Just like the NFL Network all through June and July puts their lists together getting ready for the NFL season. Well, the MLB Network did their best and is doing their best as they're releasing their top 10 players, Goldie, in every single position leading into spring training. Starting pitchers, catchers, not out yet, but how about your Seattle Mariners? Five players on that list. I believe it was a zero last year, but five this year. Ty France, Teoscar Hernandez on the list last year. Julio Rodriguez, number 3, Colton Wong. And, of course, 104 flamethrower Mr. Munoz on the back end of it comes in as well. I would expect a pitcher or two, and I would think Kyle Raleigh's in the top 10. That would place 7 Mariners at least on this list, and that's got to be near a franchise high.
You know, I love the center field list, by the way. Like, if you wanted to draw up the top 3 freaks in Major League Baseball, is it the top 3 guys in the center field list of Trout, Buxton, and Julio? I mean, the combination of speed and power for all 3 of those guys, and the fact that Julio, who's been in the show for like a day, is already in that conversation is remarkable. It's a great list, and you're right. None last year. Hey, it's a list. Lists are for people like us to have fun with before games start. But to know that people are talking about you and that you have legitimate talent for what this team wants to do, that's the idea.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
So if that is the front end of the train, the caboose on the other end is the hay is in the barn. The NFL season, save for 3 games, is wrapped up. And now you look back in the rearview mirror and you start giving away awards, which they'll do in a couple weeks. We know that 2 of the 6 rookies for the Seahawks are finalists for the Rookie of the Year awards. And, well, we heard yesterday Pete Carroll didn't make the top 5 list. You know, it's pretty cool to see players come out and respond. Quandre Diggs, you know, took to Twitter yesterday and said, man, I don't understand how Pete isn't a finalist, not a top 5 coaching job with a team everybody expected to be sorry. And then Geno Smith got away from his third-person self-tweeting song lyrics and emojis and just simply, let's see, he just simply tweeted, who will win, with the caption, Peter Clay Carroll.
Is that his real name, Peter Clay Carroll? Is this a fact?
I mean, PC.
Does anybody know Scott Service's middle name?
Don't.
Does Baseball Reference have that information?
What's your middle name?
I'm not comfortable sharing that with you right now, Brock.
Mine is not Xavier, no matter what Wikipedia tries to screw around and continually put it.
I've got it.
I know. You probably look at your wiki page often, too, don't you?
It does pop up on Wikipedia. Pete Carroll's is Clay, and Scott Service is Daniel.
Daniel.
The Regal Service.
Next.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Pretty cool night on the ice last night. You call that a good old-fashioned thumping. If you're going to beat the Canucks, or the Canucks, for the first time in franchise history, you might as well pound them 6-1 in your own building. Goals galore. Guys throwing their bodies in front of shots late. I did not like the cheap shot Matty Beniers took. And if it's going to be a rivalry, well, you got to start winning. That's exactly what they did last night. And speaking of winning, how about this, Goldie? Here's Dave Hextall, the coach, talking about surpassing last year's total win total last night.
I'm no fun on that one, no. I mean, last year was not fun, right? So if you want to talk about no fun, that was no fun. But you got to go through those hard times in order to work and build. And, you know, there's a lot of guys in this room that went through that and stayed with it and are finding a little bit of success right now. So, you know, for us, it's about the 2 points tonight. And now we get a day of rest. And then, you know, we've got two left. And that's, you know, it's a hell of a lot of fun winning along the way. And that's where the fun comes in. But tonight was a hard-working group.
Are hockey players the best athletes?
The best athletes?
Yeah, like every sport.
No. The greatest athletes on earth are NBA basketball players.
Okay.
They're the most freakish. They run and they jump and they've got like 2% body fat. And if you see them in person, as I've done at the Nike employee store in Portland, they look like human spiders. And so, no, I'm going to say that basketball players, world-class track athletes, just from a speed, power. You said about the center fielders, like...
Yeah. I mean, I know where you're coming from. I think you're going chalk, I'll be honest. Like, I think I think that's the easy answer.
I think a lot of hockey players I've seen about your size, you and Church, like 6 foot, about 75.
Yeah, it's just you put us in skates and padding, and all of a sudden we become 6'4", 235.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's heavy. They're heavy pads. They're heavy pads. Tall skates.
Pretty much like William Wallace on that wall. That's everything you need to know this morning. I thought it's funny as you listen to Dave Hextall talk there. They do have a communication style that is, I think, a cut above the rest. They're just blunt. They're honest. They're transparent. There's a humility. There's something to hockey players. I wouldn't put athletic fibers, honestly, size, strength, twitch, speed. I'd put lung capacity. I'd put toughness. I'd put endurance, strength, flexibility. But no, if you want to go down this road, we can go down this road.
Well, you know, we only have 15 seconds. I will say, hockey players, I've been told this in their version of the clubhouse. Like all the chairs face, towards the center of the room, as opposed to facing.
That's right. They're a team.
I know. On your scale of athletic intangibles, that counts for nothing. But I think that's I think that's worth something.
Okay, so I'm playing a game next. This is boom or bust. I'm just going to tell you flat out. This could fall right on its face. Like KJ Wright, I played a game with KJ. He went 0-for-8. He fell right on his face. Now, that was more difficult.
Yeah, that was harder, bro.
That was trying to match up players with their favorite Thanksgiving item on the Seahawks. more difficult. This one is in your wheelhouse. And I'm not talking Jerry DePoto wheelhouse 1 hour from now. I'm talking your wheelhouse as a broadcaster. We will do it next with Goldie. It's the Brock and Salk Show. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
You're listening to Brock and Salk,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio
on Seattle Sports Station.
He's Aaron Goldsmith filling in for Salky this morning. Salk will be back tomorrow. Brock Ewer, Justin Mora. What a blast. We have not really gotten off the rails yet.
No.
I think we could. You and I had a conversation moments before the show began about appearances and Brock Purdy, and we may go there at some point.
Heard this is a long segment.
We likely will. This is a longer segment.
Brock, it's 7:30. You're like, we haven't gone off the rails yet. And like, no. We should be proud of it.
It's going to get a little off the rails here. Okay. A little bit off the rails. So Aaron and I did, how many games did we do last 2 years?
It felt like a lot. Probably three in reality.
All right. It felt like, I thought it was 5 or 6.
Yeah, I think 5 or 6 is fair.
Yeah, we had an absolute blast.
We did.
I think you know I take baths. I think we've talked about that.
See, there you go, off the rails already.
What? Sweet.
So,
do you go salt, you go yeah. bomb, you go powder, what are we doing?
All of it.
Are you serious question?
I'm dead serious. I take a bath almost every night.
One of the most offensive smells to me.
Yeah.
Is lilac. You seem like a big lilac guy.
No, not lilac. I'll do Epsom salts. There's a company, I forget the name of it, and they make a great bubble and a great salt, and I'll combine them both.
You know the name. Don't.
There's a brightness. There's a relax. It'll come to me in a second, but it's, yeah.
This is Brock Heward for bath salt.
And what happens, Goldie, and what I found in my life through 14 years of radio, that's where a lot of my deeper thoughts come. That's where ideas come. Some of our peers, they will do different things to get themselves, you know, to words and thoughts. But for me, it is often tub time where phone's away. I'm just thinking. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in tub time yesterday and I called Justin. I told him that I was on my way to my daughter's basketball game. I wasn't quite yet. I was in the tub. And
you
I said,
I'm not in the trust tree. It basically is what I'm learning here.
Justin, I've got a thought. And I don't know if this is going to work tomorrow with Goldie, but I've got a thought. I've got a radio idea. And I want to play some of Aaron's iconic calls, and I want him to peel the onion back.
Mm.
And then I thought of Sean McVay. Did you ever hear this sound? Sean McVay, this is really where it came to my mind. Sean McVay sitting in some bleachers in the summertime doing an interview, and they ask him some questions about some of these big plays in his life and even little plays. Here's Sean McVay going next level.
Week 12, Saints at Rams, 4:29 in the second quarter. Second and 7 on the Saints 7. What happens?
Oh, Josh Reynolds touchdown off schedule play versus a 3-man rush.
You're absolutely right.
Are you kidding me?
You're unbelievable. Now computer. We are going to go to, this is Sean McVay's time in Washington.
Oh, no.
So we're bringing it back to 2015, week 7. Bucks at Skins.
Yep.
Second and 7 on the Tampa Bay 24. 58 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline. Set up the first down, and then how did that drive end?
Jordan Reed touchdown and a 4-by-1 individual ISO slant.
And what meme was that game?
You like that.
Incredible.
Right? I mean, just stupid. Like, I'm not asking you to do that. We're not going to go there at 7:30. I'm not. But maybe you will. Maybe you'll know exactly what you ate that day, what you were wearing, what the smells of lilac were flowing through Yankee Stadium. I don't know. Maybe you will. But I asked Justin to pull a few different highlights, and I'm wondering if you could just take it a little next level, wherever you want to go with it. All right, Justin, fire away.
Paredes clubs this to left field. Fraley leaps and Fraley made the catch. Are you serious? Shed gets 2. Wow. Unreal.
Oh, yeah. Really creative on your part, Brock. That's just really. I can just see like the tweets of like the lowercase A's and then like maybe 4 capital A's and then like 6 more lowercase A's.
I didn't pick the place. All right. Mr. Burns and
sorry,
I.
Yeah.
We're lot, on the same
let me tell you, that call's got a lot of lilac for me. All right. Okay. Here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to know about this call. All right. I'm no Sean McVay. Let's start with that. So let's lower the bar a little bit. The thing about that call, that was called from a pitch black T-Mobile Park off of a monitor when the game was being played in Detroit at Comerica Park. This was in the remote broadcast days that we all remember. I mean, like some of those games, there were high school graduations going on in front of us, and we were calling these. Like, honestly, like there's one day I couldn't believe what a well-oiled machine T-Mobile Park is for high school graduations. Like 6 of them in one day.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, it tells you why you need the pitch clock. So I mean, like we saw all of those.
You're sitting in a pitch black.
So the ballpark is totally dark. I mean, the booths are lit up. Yeah. Ballpark is dark. Blow is at the opposite end of the broadcast wing. He's in the visiting TV booth all by himself. Just in like 7th heaven, by the way. And I am almost by myself.
So you had to yell Fraley that loud.
That's it. Yeah. I was like, Mike, did you see this?
Okay.
Okay. I've talked about this from time to time. Like, there is this strange section of the pie graph of Mariners fans who like the voice crack.
Yes.
And I do understand to a degree why. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I think when your voice sounds that horrific, You can't do it on purpose. Like, you can't. Like,
that
there's
club's
no,
not in the bag.
Yeah, you're not like, oh, I'm going to break this one out now. And so I think the people who do enjoy that, although I can't completely relate to them, they do realize that I made those noises with my body because right. I was just like them, right? Like, they would have sounded the same way. Like, all the broadcast training just dissipates from your body, and you just become just a dude watching a game. And in that case, I literally was a dude watching a game
in a room,
by myself on a TV.
So good.
And so, like, for as disappointing as that call is for me, because my voice sounds, my voice has never sounded like that in my entire life.
Even as a
12-year-old.
Look what you did, Justin. You're bringing up bad memories.
It's quite. Okay. Brock knows this. I'm a very self-deprecating guy. I can take it.
Give me another.
This next one though does have another element that I'm wondering if you remember what happened in this game or perhaps just before it.
Swing, and this is lifted deep. This is driven well. It's out to right field. It is gone. Yeah, he's feeling it.
Is this the call that bled over to their call?
I don't think so. I did take one little piece out of this one to make it not as obvious for you. I will admit that there's some editing to that.
Oh, is this the whole guys are getting hit game?
This was just after the bench is cleared.
Yeah.
And Julio comes up, ready for the moment, hits the homer out to right.
Yeah, and the thing about that call, can I teach you guys something here?
I love that.
Obviously, I had no idea of this at the time, but somebody on Twitter, and I have to give incredible props to this person, like, they listened to the Astros TV call, and in the Astros TV call, you can hear me just going bananas.
That's right.
On our call.
Yep.
And because, of course, you know, they're like, it was like the eighth inning, maybe? Eighth or ninth inning? Probably. I feel it was the eighth.
I think it was the eighth.
Yeah. And go ahead bomb, Julio, right? In Houston. Like, it had all the layers of kind of greatness and, like, what a moment. And so I'm kind of losing my top a little bit, as you can tell. And they're meanwhile, they're like, and Julio Rodriguez homers to right field. And the Mariners take the lead. So, like, they are as docile as can be, and I'm just, like, plugged into an electrical circuit. And, so, yeah, so somebody found that, and you can pretty much clear as day hear my call, which does remind me, by the way, when I was in my first year broadcasting minor league baseball, it was in the independent league, the Gateway Grizzlies, open air press box with no broadcast booths. Okay. So home radio sat on one end of the press box, visiting radio sat on the other end of the press box for all the obvious sound reasons. Okay. I called two innings a game, home games only, the sixth and the seventh. We were getting waxed, truthfully, like 15-0. And my head could not have been further out of this game by the time I hit the air. Like, I could have cared less. There was nothing interesting. The game was over, and I got to milk two innings of just pure boredom. We had this tiny little shortstop. I mean, he was all 5'8", and he leans into one. I don't know if he had hit a home run with a wooden bat in his life. And he leans into one. And it had the sound, and that's all it had. And I thought off the bat that this thing was gone, like gone. And I lean into it like the Julio call. Now, first of all, even if it was a home run, it would have been like 15-1. So who cares? But I start going bonkers for this home run call, only to find out that it's caught literally 20 feet in front of the warning track.
Oh, no.
And my broadcast partner, who was like, you know, a professional, looks at me wide-eyed, like mouth agape, just can't say anything. And I'm looking at, and I don't notice it until he starts running back. He rounds second base and runs back to the dugout. I've like said the score, and it's the second home run of the season. And I see him running back to the dugout, and I just shut it down. And there's just silence, just ballpark noise and silence. And everyone in that press box heard me say this, because I didn't say it. I screamed it. And it's all over, man. Like, it's all over. And I had to think of something. I blamed it on the lights.
Oh.
I was like, oh, man, I don't know.
Good tip.
And then, additionally, the visiting broadcaster, he heard it on his broadcast and started to make fun of me on his web stream Indy League Windy City Rain or whatever the team was. I mean,
that's
so
good.
You know, not a whole lot's changed.
Oh, that's awesome.
I figured we'd peel back a few layers. I figured this exercise would do that.
I thought it hurt.
Oh, that's awesome. I was hoping you were going to say it was Altuve or something when you said that.
Yeah, okay. Actually, his name was Jose Ramirez Altuve. Okay, give me number three.
Well, I'll remind you of the final game of the series in Oakland where the Mariners swept the A's. It was Mitch Haniger homering off of Diekman to tie the game. Haniger, does he get him again? Does he get him again? He does! It's the series of Mitch Haniger!
Now, obviously, it's the home run, but do you know what other significance that call had? What other moment happened with that home run?
What other moment happened with that home run?
Yes.
What? can I respond with nothing?
Mitch Haniger's 100th home run as a Mariner was that call right there. So that will live forever.
Gosh, come on, McVay.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
You're sure
about that? According to MLB, that was the 100th home run.
No, it wasn't.
What? Who's wrong here? I'm going to look it up again.
Oh, this is good. You know what I'm seeing right now? I'm seeing your 8-year-old son's face right now.
I mean, there is a am I confusing 100th career home run with
as a Mariner?
Those numbers probably aren't off by that many, right? Like he didn't have a ton of home runs beforehand. Okay.
Well, all I know about that call is that one's on video, and it is beautiful because you're teeing it up, right?
Well, I will say that is broadcast luck at its finest, right?
Because is it luck though?
I mean, there's a degree of that. I remembered that Mitch had tagged Diekman earlier, not long ago, and
yep.
That isn't luck. That's prep.
So is that a note that you've written before the game, or just in that moment? Is your just kind of your mind's working?
I don't use notes, Brock.
That was 100th home run. 100th is a Mariner came later. 100th home run.
Okay.
Boom.
Is that what you said initially, or no?
I think I said it was 100th as a Mariner.
Oh, see, you were.
I completely screwed that one for you.
Mara, mute him, please.
off the rails.
Got it. No problem.
I think
because you know what? I'll use that as a parallel. I think my favorite call of Rizzer last year was Kyle Raleigh, right? The big dumper home run, and he just similarly, like you could just feel his mind working as he just kind of teed that moment up of what this could be, and you know how he hits this pitch, or so. Those aren't notes before the game, or those aren't tub time thoughts, or those aren't getting Gus Johnson ready to go. Like it just comes to your mind.
Well, I honestly can't remember if I had written that down or not, but the part where I was very fortunate is that he homered immediately after I said it, right? Like even if it was the following pitch, two pitches after I'd said it.
And it was his 100th career. It wasn't his 100th as a Mariner. It was his 100th career.
That's not the point.
100th as a Mariner against the Yankees.
It wouldn't be like broadcast gold if it happened even just 20 seconds later. It has to happen right there to make it really it's a pass-fail test. So that was amazing. And to me, okay, if you want to talk like nitty-gritty broadcast nerd, nerd stuff.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. I hope people find this interesting. They probably won't. But the bat crack. The bat crack is one of the greatest sounds on earth. And when you step on the bat crack, it's just such a letdown.
See, you didn't do that with that Gateway kid. You didn't step on his
I let it. Wham! To the track! Cough. Out number two. Like, on radio, it's critical. Right? On radio, when you're calling a game, you have to hear the crack of the bat. Like, if you don't hear the crack of the bat, what are we doing? Thank you. Like, if you don't hear that... Now, to be fair, like, there are some places on the road where the crack mic, the NAT sounds aren't as great, and it's just, even if you give it time to breathe, it doesn't come through as clearly. At home, it's a great crack mic. You can hear it. Just don't step on it. TV, this is something that Blow does really well. If you ever listen to him when he's... talking about something and it takes a little bit of time, so much so that it might bleed over into a pitch. More times than not, he will kind of just pull back, wait for the pitch, and then go again. And he's able to do it in a way that's pretty subtle that I think if you didn't hear me talking about it right now, you probably wouldn't even notice it. But he knows, even on TV, that sound, like in a big moment, you know, like if Julio hits a bomb, but one of us is talking over the pitch, highlights kind of ruined. Wow. It happens. It happens on TV because you're allowed to talk over the pitch because everyone can see what is happening. But, I got lucky on that one.
That's exactly the 17 minutes that I wanted. That's and we still have two to go, so maybe over the course of the next couple hours we'll get to those. But
I'm really glad you let off with Fraley. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. Yeah. Every morning.
That seemed random, too.
Morning at this time.
Who could have thought?
We asked three good football questions. I'm turning around. I got three good baseball questions for Goldie. We'll call it Blue 88.
This is Brock and Salk's Blue 88.
Blue 88!
We take you to the field as Brock Huard breaks down three football questions as only he can.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Song.
Question number one. Who is the greatest athlete Aaron Goldsmith has ever watched at any level on a baseball field?
Obviously a pitcher of some kind, right? I think, and this is chalk, and I'm sorry for that, but I don't know how I could retain my credibility if I didn't say Ohtani, right? I mean, like, that's just, he's one of the fastest dudes in the game. I don't even have to explain it. Like, it's Ohtani, and I'm sorry that that's too easy, but that's just, I wish I could have seen Bo and Dion in person. I mean, like, people, those two guys will never get enough credit for what they're able to do athletically.
You grew up in...
I spent time in Kansas City when I was little.
Yeah.
So, like, I was too young to appreciate it.
Remember Bo climbing the fence?
I remember, like, Bo's quads shredding the polyester of his white Royals pants. And just, like, the pinstripe was hanging down his quad. I mean, he just... The ultimate freak. You know better than I do, I'm sure. It just... I mean, incredible. Just amazing.
Question number two. Okay, Mariner centric. Who would be the one Mariner at any level of their organization that could play at a high level on a football field?
I mean,
current, past, whatever you want to do. The Mariner that you have seen you, over the last 10 years here in Seattle, that you're like, that dude could step on a football field and play.
I mean, there's a little bit of like DK light in Julio, right? Now, I mean, like he has that combo. He's not as yoked as DK, but nobody is. Play along with me for a second.
I'm playing.
Okay. Well, on some more buy-in. Like, if you want to talk about a guy that he's going to play hard every snap. He's going to give you. He's a coach's kid.
I think I know where you're
okay?
going.
Okay. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if his arm's hanging out of the socket. Like, he's going back in there. Strap him on. Give me Cal Raleigh. Like, could Cal Raleigh be, like,
if Cal Raleigh had another 100 pounds, he'd be the greatest guard in the history of the NFL.
Could he be, like, a little Dallas Clark?
No. Well, Cal runs better than you think, right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, and also, keep in mind, we would call him and say, Cal, you need to train for football.
Right.
Yeah, you got to give him a little slack.
No, that's
like,
true.
I think
he's got a great gluteus maximus.
Oh,
I mean, the big dumper for a reason. He's got a football butt.
You know, we did get clearance at the end of the season that we could use dumper on the air because it was a little taboo for a while there, you know. Like,
was it?
Once Mariner's social team was able to put big dumper out there, I feel like it was. But I still feel like we can't overuse that.
I was asked to help do some of the on-field stuff during the playoffs, and I was like, can I say a big dumper? And they're like, we'll give you one. You're allowed to say it once.
I do think that there's, like, that was probably a little bit of a shot at you personally. but I think also they know that it's special, and let's save this for the right moment.
Okay, question three. This one's a little selfish, but I don't care. What was your enduring memory of the football games we called together? When you think back to our special season, Joe Davis left the booth, Aaron Goldsmith flies in, and we had five games together. I remember every single one of them, like McVay. You don't. But those five games, any enduring memory, any moment, any game, any player, any situation that stands out?
You know, I must be honest.
Besides a car ride from Bloomington to Indianapolis with the police escort where poor Barry almost...
Barry! I've never driven so fast on a country road in my life with police authority. I've never been around someone, nor will I ever again, who combines a natural athletic ability at a high level with the desire, strong desire, to wear a sweater vest like Brock Huard. Normally that type of attire is reserved for the goldsmiths of the world. Those who are more concerned with, possibly their hair or how their makeup looks on TV.
Right.
Really, who haven't really accomplished much physically at all in their life. But you, from what your wiki page says, you were in the NFL. I don't know if there's proof of this, but... And yet, you seek out the sweater vest.
I do.
And I...
Did he listen to me and Burkhart yesterday?
I listened to Burkhart. I love Kevin. I think Kevin is...
He pulls off the sweater with the zip, the three-quarter zip sweater.
How much time do we... Here's an honest question.
You have 1 minute.
Okay, Burkhart. 1 minute. Burkhart, handsome man.
Yes.
Great hair.
Yes.
Now, it's very gray now, and he rocks it. Like, what do I do when this thing starts to go on me? Do I just let it go like Burkhart? I mean, he's calling the Super Bowl, so it's worked out for him.
You don't think he colors a little?
Maybe.
I think he colors a little.
Okay, but
you
he's
want
still,
me to text him?
I could text him too. You know,
let's race.
I'll FaceTime him.
Okay, here we go.
I think this is a legitimate question, and I don't need it to be answered today, but I need the brain trust
to start
giving
it some thought. Well, the text toy on that computer right in front of you, there's something called a text toy, and people can text in. Go gray or die, you know?
I mean, there's a couple in there, you know? And it's like when your greatest strength also becomes your greatest liability.
That's right. What do you do? What do you do about it? That's pretty good. Well, that went off the rails. I was waiting, and, you know, first half hour was kind of like the beginning of your career. Just try not to screw it up.
Yeah. Play not to lose.
Play not to lose in the last half
this is,
hour.
Take me off the air, if you will.
we went off the rails, and we'll continue to do it. I do want to shift gears. I do want to talk a little Geno. It's a human interest story. With you, take your perspective. It's a baseball perspective. It's a baseball background, and baseball deals are not football deals. But this one is pretty easy for everybody to have an opinion on, and I would like to hear yours next. He is Aaron Goldsmith. I am Brock Huard. It is the Brock and Salk Show you're listening to on Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.